and introduce our four new deacons. Tim French, stand please. Tim French. Lucky McDade, stand. Waring Richardson, stand. And Matt Reichert, stand. Let's give the Lord a hand for these four men. Amen. Thank the Lord. Next Sunday morning, as a part of our morning worship service, we will be ordaining Matt as a deacon. And so we know that you'll look forward to that and that you'll be praying for him along with the other three men that you, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, have chosen to lead us for the next 3 years if the Lord tarries his coming. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me this morning. Thank you, Leon. Thank you, praise team. And thank you, choir. Boy, I looked up there and I wanted to jump up there and sing with you. I wanted to be a part of that choir. I love a choir, and I appreciate the choir very much. And I thank you, choir, for your time and your devotion, what it takes out of your day to come and to be a part of what God wants to do through you. I told you last week, I tell you every Sunday, I pray every morning when I wake up, God, you take my life, and you bring the greatest glory that you can to yourself through my life, whatever that means, whatever takes place, whatever must happen in my life. Paul said that he wanted God to always receive the glory and the honor and the praise. I want you to turn to, we're going to read some selected scripture, but I'm going to ask you to stand. Turn to Psalms chapter 34. It's a part of our Sunday school lesson this morning. It's not listed in your scripture on your bulletin, but turn to Psalms 34 and stand with me, please, as we read God's word together. So glad today to have Army Chaplain Eric Bundrick and his wife and precious daughters with us today and a part of our worship service. Eric surrendered to the ministry under my ministry in my former church, and such a joy to have Eric and Deanna and the girls with us today. I think there's four preachers in this congregation this morning, and I'm as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs, if you know what that means. If you don't, it's okay. Psalms 34, prayer. Prayer. Prayer that prevails, prayer that that God listens to, prayer that God hears, prayer that God responds to. Psalms 34 and verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Now look at verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. This entire psalm in my Bible is just about underlined with notes to the side. There was a time in my life when I almost died. And God raised me up. And all I knew then, church, was to stand on the Word of God and claim it and believe it. That's all I knew to do. And so when I preach to you, I'm preaching to you not what I have read or what I have been told. I'm preaching to you out of experience as much as I'm preaching to you out of the Word. So I, as Tommy was teaching the Sunday school lesson this morning, I looked at those verses, and because this was a psalm that I claimed when I stood at the doorway of death, and my wife said to God, God, please don't take him from me. I need him more than you do. And every now and then when she gets a little upset with me, I remind her that she had her opportunity. But thank God she didn't choose to say. She reminds me constantly. And I praise God for that. The most powerful weapon that you will ever have is prayer. You don't do it when you feel good. You don't do it when it's right. You do it because it's the right thing to do. It's a discipline and you must do it. You do it when you feel bad. You do it when your head hurts. You do it when you're sick. You do it when you're well. You do it when you're happy. You do it when you're sad. You do it when your soul is burdened. David is running for his life. He's in a cave. He's praying. His enemies are constantly after him. And Jeannie reminded me of something this week. And she said how that all of a sudden the word enemies in the book of Psalms takes on a different meaning when you look at Ephesians chapter 6 and you look at the weaponry that we are to use as we engage the enemy in prayer. Turn to Psalms 141, verse 1. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto me. Thy voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as an incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Remember what, look up here. Remember what I told you about the evening sacrifice? When was the evening sacrifice? When did Jesus give up the ghost on the cross? 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Remember, he prayed at 9, and he prayed again. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he became the total, absolute, and complete sacrifice for every need that we have, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, every area of my life. God is not just interested in the spiritual realm. Everything that we do, every way we live, is a part of the spiritual realm that we live in. Psalms 142, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they secretly laid a snare for me. And you can read the rest of it. Now turn all the way to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. Hebrews 5 and verse 7. Jesus, our high priest, who is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek had neither beginning or ending. Melchizedek, if you remember, was the one that Abraham paid tithes to in the city of Salem, which is the first mention of the city of Jerusalem in the Bible. Look at verse 7. Let's back it up to verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, the Alpha and the Omega, Jesus Christ, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he failed, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Father God, in the strong and the mighty name of your Son, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you promised us that greater works would we do than you had done, Lord Jesus. Because you were going to the Father and you were going to send another Comforter. And he would empower us, he would infill us, he would dwell within us, he would equip us, he would exhort and edify and encourage us, he would make us mighty in so much that we would accomplish, Lord Jesus, you said, greater things than you had done. And we question how that is possible. It is possible when we surrender our life, our mind, our very being, our body, soul, and spirit totally and completely to be absorbed by your spirit, indwelt, infilled, and empowered, and equipped by your spirit. God, today would you fill us afresh and fill us anew, that when people come into our presence, they may know that we have been into your presence. Save one today, God, who is nearest that pit of hell, Father, who is at the very doorway, the very preface of that pit. God, reach down by your mercy, by your grace, and save them. Call those out, Father, to serve you, to follow you in whatever mission, in whatever commission, Father, that you desire that they serve you. God, bring those today that need to be a part of this family. that we all may grow together in your grace and in your knowledge and in your wisdom, and that you might be glorified in all that we think and say and do. Forgive us, Father, and cleanse us through the cross and the blood of your only begotten Son of every sin in thought, in word, in deed, the things that we should have done that we haven't done. God, have mercy upon us and cleanse us, Father, because you remind us if we regard iniquity of any type in our heart, you cannot hear our prayer until that sin is dealt with. It's not a question of how you answer prayer. It's a question, are we prepared to pray and to seek your face, to confess our sins and to repent so that we might be filled, empowered, and equipped by the leadership of your Spirit, that we might do exploits for you, that we might be the head and not the tail. Grant it to be so, Father, for every person under the sound of my voice here today, for your great glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Revelation reminds us that our prayers are a sweet-smelling aroma to God. I mentioned that to you last Sunday. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8 and chapter 8, verses 3 and verse 4, God in heaven receives our prayers, and we have the privilege, I said to you last Sunday, we have the privilege of bringing a sweet aroma into the presence of God. We have the privilege and the joy of bringing that sweet aroma that God so desires from your heart and my heart. Listen to me carefully. It's not by just how well we know the Scripture. It's not just by how well we walk in the Spirit. It is through our prayers. And even though, listen carefully, even though you may feel intimidated in some way by those that for whatever reason you may think may pray better than you, listen to me this morning. I would never want to intimidate anyone in this congregation and make you believe that my prayers are more powerful than yours and your prayers are not as effective as mine. You have the same God. You have the same Lord Jesus Christ. You have the same Holy Spirit. You have the same Bible that I have. Begin to stand on it. Begin to take God at His word and begin to offer your prayers to God. And God has promised that He'll hear from heaven and that your prayers and my prayers will be a sweet aroma in His presence. I love to go to Cracker Barrel. I love their breakfast. When John was playing football and we were traveling, we knew where we were going to stop. And I always ate breakfast regardless. 24/7 I ate breakfast. But when I go to Cracker Barrel now, I go for a little different reason. I really do. I buy Roma Yankee candles. I do. You know why I buy Yankee candles? And I always look for the Yankee candle that is the latest one out. In fact, the other day I bought so many Yankee candles, they actually sent me a catalog. And I love to come in the house and Roma will have the candles lit in the house. Now, the amazing thing is, though, she doesn't light them for me. She lights them when special people are coming. I hadn't figured that one out. No, I'm just kidding. But whenever John or Ashley are coming or somebody special coming over, and you know, you want the house to smell just right, amen? You want everything to be just pleasant. You want it to be a real sweet fragrance. You just want the house to be as perfect as you can be. Well, beloved, stop for a moment and just translate that over into how God desires your prayers and my prayers because of the sweet aroma and the sweet incense that they bring to the nostrils of God. God is just waiting to smell your prayers. That's why Satan will do everything he can to rob you of that time with God. He'll let you read the Scriptures. He'll let you attend Sunday school. He'll let you go to church. He'll let you tithe. But see, he knows that if he can rob you of praying, he's robbing God. He's taken away from God that which God desires in my life and in your life. God inhabits our praise, Our prayers are part of His praise. Begin to praise Him. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They only listen to me. This hit me as I was studying this week. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11 says that when the temptations were ended and Satan had been defeated for that moment, the scripture says there in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11 that angels came and ministered unto him. I was reminded how that the God sent the angels. Listen to me. God sent the angels when Daniel had prayed, and for 21 days the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece had done everything that they could to stop Daniel's prayer. The answer coming from God. And God sent the archangel, and God sent angels to intervene. And I thought to myself, wow. Ministering spirits, they are not omniscient, they are not omnipresent, they're not omnipotent, they're not immutable in the sense that God is. Those are characteristics that belong only to God. But listen to me this morning, they were created for you and for me in order that they might bring God's will to earth and our will to God in heaven. And our will is discovered when we discover God's will. It is a culmination of my life being brought into agreement with God. It is a culmination. You see, prayer does one of two things. It either changes what you're praying about or it changes you. And sometimes it does both. Sometimes God uses those events and those things in our lives, such in the life of David, so that I might know and that I might understand that there's victory in the cross this morning, you all. There's victory in Jesus Christ, and it's in His name. And we are told that demons must flee. We are told that sickness must leave. We are told that the powers and the principalities that rise against us are defeated in the name of Jesus Christ. We stand on the authority of the Word of God. We are to pray without ceasing, Paul said. Roma was praying this morning, and we were coming over here, and I was driving, and I promise I was not following this vehicle too. I guess I was caught up in her prayer. I was. I look forward to that time together. It's just me and her in the car. And praying together and worshiping together and getting ready for Sunday morning and expecting and believing that God's going to do something for His glory. And all of a sudden, she's got her head bowed and she's a praying, brother. She's in the spirit praying. And I slam on brakes, and because this little truck right in front of me decided to take a right-hand turn, and I wasn't prepared for it. God's angels were there. No telling what might have happened if she hadn't been praying. Seriously. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, James says, avails much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. What does it mean to be effective? It means to be persistent. It means to be consistent. And it also means that we take God at His absolute word and we declare it to be so, not because we necessarily believe it, but because God has spoken it. And His word has an infallible promise. It will not return void. It will accomplish that which He sends it forth to do. It will bring forth that which is pleasing unto Him. And it will not return void. And so when we pray in that authority. But there is a time, beloved of God, we pray quietly, we pray privately, but there is a time, beloved of God, when we pray fervently as Elijah prayed fervently, and it didn't rain for 3 years, and he prayed again, it did rain. When he prayed to his God on Mount Carmel, and the power of God fell, and the altar, the sacrifice was consumed.
and the prophets of Baal. He actually made fun of the prophets of Baal. Maybe he's gone off somewhere. Maybe he needed to use the restroom. That's maybe where your God's at. Listen to me this morning. Listen, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven.
I understand that that means in the area of salvation, but listen to me. Let me make it more applicable to you and I who are blood-washed, blood-bought, born-again children of God here this morning. Listen to me. If I'm not living a righteous life, if I'm not living a pure life, if I've got harboring sin towards anybody or anyone about anything in my heart, in my life, if there's ill will, if there's anger, if there's jealousy, if there's envy, there's strife, if there's lust, if there's immorality, if there's fornication, if there's anything in my life, drugs and alcohol, if there's anything you want me to meddle, if there's anything in my life that God has so spoken in His Word that I do not need in my life because it does not bring glory to Him. You know, people ask me all the time, preacher, is this wrong? Does it bring glory to Him? Does it bring glory to Him? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Listen to me. The children of Israel were to march around Jericho for 7 days, one time a day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they were to march around the city 7 times. And on the seventh time around the city, they were to, listen, they were to blow the ram's horns. And then they were to shout. I don't know what they shouted, but I believe they shouted, praise Jehovah God, or Jehovah is God. Now listen to me. They're going to march one day and the walls wouldn't have fallen. They're going to march 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and the walls wouldn't have fallen. They're going to march one time on the seventh day, 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times on the seventh day. They're going to blow the ram's horn. But the walls did not come down until they shouted to God. You see, God wants your praise. God wants your praise. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Your name is above all other names. There is no God beside you. I honor you. I praise you. I worship you. I magnify. I exalt. I glorify. All righteousness comes to you. You're the God of my salvation. You're the God of my past. You're the God of my present. You're the God of my future. You are God. You are God. Hallelujah to His name. Praise Him this morning, church. Learn how to praise Him. Don't let the Pentecostals have all the fun. The problem with we Baptists, we've been so afraid that the Holy Spirit's going to touch us. And we prided ourselves over the years about how much we know about. Listen to me, Satan will let you know all you want to know about the Scripture. The moment you decide to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the moment you decide to pray in the Spirit, and the moment you decide to walk in the Spirit, the moment you decide to live in the Spirit, then's when the battle comes. Then's when the battle comes. And I want to ask you this question this morning. Has anybody crucified you lately? Don't misunderstand. I'm not being unsympathetic towards anything that's going on in your life right now. Whatever's going on in your life right now is very real to you. I want you to know that, and I understand that, and I respect that. But I want you to know there's a God above that has provided all that you and I need that we might live victoriously above the world and not in the world. Most of we Christians want to live in the world. No wonder our prayers don't have the power to blow the fuzz off of a good old South Carolina peach. Hallowed be thy name, Moses, Moses, tell them, I am that I am. There is none other beside me. I am God. No wonder Jesus himself, when they questioned him, when those same Pharisees asked him,
And they reminded him, are you trying to tell us that before Abraham was, you are? He said, before Abraham was, I am. He is God incarnate in human flesh. He is seated at the right hand of the Father right now, and he ever lives to make intercession for you and I. He sent the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to indwell you and to infill you, and so that you might, listen to me, so that you might pray and that your prayers may be received, because Paul reminds us that when our spirit in itself is burdened, that the Holy Spirit of God makes moanings and groanings, interpreting and presenting our prayers perfectly to the Son, who's seated at the right hand of the Father, who also lives to make intercession for us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we come to give us this day. After we've praised him, after we've magnified him, after we've glorified him, after we've brought all honor to him, after we have sought the perfect plan and his perfect will, that his kingdom might come on earth, that his will may be done on earth as it is in heaven, then we present our petitions and our needs. Let me ask you a question this morning. If he can feed the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness, and take care of them so much so that their shoes didn't wear out, provide manna from heaven fresh every day, fresh bread every day, which is a picture of the Word of God, manna from heaven, every morning. If he takes care of the lilies of the field, if he takes care of the sparrow, if he knows the hairs and the number on them, how many of you, your records was changed this morning when you fixed your hair? Mine was. God said, Johnny just lost another one. If he's that interested in you this morning, why in the name of Jehovah God would you let the enemy rob you of that precious time with him? Why? But you see, listen to me, he's not a gimme God. Well, I just sit back and fold my arms and say, okay, God, I'm blood washed, I'm blood bought, I'm born again. I'm your child, I'm saved and I know it, and I'm on my way to heaven, and you promised you was going to take care of me, now just take care of me. You see, unfortunately today in America, we have been so blessed. Even the worst of us have it better than many in other countries have it. Even the worst. Till we've developed an attitude of entitlement. Hello? Are you listening? That's what it means, yes. And if we're not careful, we say, oh, preacher, I wouldn't think like that. Yes, you do. When you start moaning and groaning and complaining and griping and just fussing at God about anything and everything because stuff didn't go your way and it didn't happen your way and he didn't do this and he didn't do that and he didn't. Listen to me, there's a reason he didn't do what you asked him to do. There can be any number of reasons. There may be sin in your heart and you need to deal with that sin. It may be, listen to me, it may be that the stronghold of Satan is blocking that prayer just like he did Daniel's. Listen to me, it may be that your prayer is not according to the Word of God, which is the revealed will and the revealed plan of God. People ask me, what's the will about this, Brother Johnny? I don't know, get in the Word and find out. God will tell you. At least two places in the Word, he repeats himself. Because you see, he says, at the mouth of two or more witnesses shall every word be established. So God confirms his Word to us. Why? In order that we might believe it. In order that we might stand on it. In order that we might act upon it. In order that we might believe he will do what he said he will do. When you prayed and you asked him to save you, did he save you? He's not willing that any should perish. That's why he saved you. It's his will that you be saved. It's His will that you be blood washed and blood bought and born again. It's His will that you come to know Christ as your Lord and your Savior. It's His will, listen to me, it's His will that you live the abundant life. John 10:10, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. There's a reason you're not having the abundant life. You need to examine yourself according to the Word of God, according to the will of God, according to the plan of God, and the purpose of God in your heart and in your life. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts. As we forgive our debtors. Maybe there's bitterness in your heart. Maybe there's anger in your heart. He says emphatically that if there is ill will in your heart towards anybody, I don't know what you've gone through. I don't know what you've faced. I don't know the scar that has left in your life, the wound that has left in your heart. But listen to me this morning. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. And He came to set you free. He came to make you free. And Leon said it this morning, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. And Roma will tell you, listen to me, Roma will tell you, all the years of my life when I learned that somebody is upset with me for a reason, I do all within my power, all within my strength under the leadership of the Holy Spirit to make it right. You know why? Because if I don't, God will not hear my prayers. If you've got aught in your heart this morning, oh, listen to me, God didn't just say no. When a prayer is not answered, you need to examine your life and see why it's not answered. And it may be because a long time ago you were hurt. You were hurt deeply. Somebody did something to you, said something to you. Somebody didn't do something. And it left a deep wound. It left a deep scar. It left deep pain in your life. Listen to me this morning. Deal with it. You'll never have a powerful prayer life as long as there's unforgiveness in your heart. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He wasn't saying that because He needed to say it. He was saying that so you and I could understand how important forgiveness is. And forgiveness, listen to me, forgiveness is largely the reason, because unforgiveness harbors bitterness, it harbors anger, it creates an attitude, and that attitude comes out, and it sooner or later it balls over and it expresses itself. Forgive us as we forgive those, and lead us not into temptation. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. But He understands the frame of man. He understands the issues that you and I face. And He understands that there has no temptation taken us, but such is common to man, that God will not with the temptation provide a way to escape, that you and I may be set free, totally delivered and set free from that temptation. And lead us not into temptation. God does not lead us into sin. But He knows the nature of man. He knows the enemy. And He knows what the enemy will do. And the enemy knows where your weakest area is. And He knows where my weakest area is. He's not omniscient. Already told you that. But He learns enough from being around us, from watching us, and from observing us, until He knows the area to attack the sin. And He first appeals to our mind. And when He can get us to cross the mark in our mind, then it transfers and becomes an activity in our life. But deliver us from evil. God never intended for you and I to be defeated by evil. Greater is He that lives in me and you than he that lives in the world. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. Listen to me this morning. When you are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ and your sins are confessed and you are pure from within, you are a righteous person. person. And the prayers of a righteous person are effective and they avail much. And so if there's an issue in your prayer life this morning, and you're dealing with these things that just seem to come from all angles, that evil that is constantly present, and beloved of God, we're going to live in it until Jesus comes and delivers us. And one day he's coming to deliver us. It's here. But Paul writes to us in Ephesians chapter 6 and reminds us to put on the whole armor of God. He never says, take it off. That you might be able to quench all the fiery darts, not some. Not a few, not a half a dozen or so, that you might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Now, God's word's either true or it's not. There's no in between. If it's not true, then let's close up shop and go home. Turn the air off, turn the lights off, close the doors, sell the property. His word is true. It's truth without any mixture of error. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. For thine is the kingdom. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Woo! Glory. This Baptist wants to shout this morning. Forever and forever. And forever. I don't know what you're looking for, but I know what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the King. He's coming again as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And that's what the last part of that prayer is all about. You see, prayer does not equip you for greater works. Prayer is the greater work. Oswald Chambers said, prayer is the greater work. You influence the kingdom of God and the will of God. Prayer is the greater work. Our main weapon in a prayer offensive is a keen knowledge and application of God's word declared verbally. Declared verbally. Can I stop a minute and meddle? You won't be offended, will you? This way means no. Okay, listen to me. I believe there's a time for quiet praying. I believe there's a time for private praying, going in the closet. But I believe that there's a time for crying out to God. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, we read it this morning. It says that he cried. He cried. He cried. I hear people say this, that there's only one place in the scripture where Jesus cried. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. I say, I beg to differ with you. He cried when he prayed. I want to ask you a question this morning. How long has it been since you cried when you prayed? How long has it been since you cried out to God? Does it not bother you the direction our nation is going? Does it not bother you what is happening in our country and what is taking place in the world? Folks, listen to me. If there's any change that's going to take place, you and I hold the key to that change, and that's the power of prayer. Cry. Cry. Cry out to God. For your deliverance, David did. And God delivered him from his enemies. Cry out to God for your deliverance. I don't believe Jesus had little what I call meanie mouth prayers. I believe you can pray silently, but I don't believe you can pray effectively silently all the time. You may differ with me. Just remember, I'm wrong and you're right. I'm right and you're wrong. whichever way you want to take it. You can take it either way. But I don't believe, listen to me, I don't find anywhere in the Scripture, listen to me close now, check me out on this, go home and study, okay? I don't find anywhere in the Scripture where Jesus prayed silently. I find where he groaned in the Spirit. But I find that his prayers were verbalized. There's something about verbalizing your prayer. You hear it, and God hears it, and it begins to increase your faith. It begins to increase your trust and your confidence in God. It begins to increase your desire and your want to please God and to honor God with your prayer life. Prayer is both an incredible privilege and it's an awesome responsibility. Biblical prayer is crying out to God with the deepest emotion, pouring out our innermost soul and being to him. Prayer is like the dove Noah sent out. You remember the dove? He sent it out, it came right back. You remember he sent it out the second time, it came back with the olive branch. He sent it out the last time and it didn't return, did it? Because the water had abated itself from the earth. That dove is a picture of prayer. Let me explain. My watch must be slow. I need to get another one, don't I, baby? She keeps telling me that, and I won't listen. Now y'all know why I preach long. Listen to me. You remember the dove? Symbol of the Holy Spirit. You remember when Jesus came up out of the water? You remember it lit on the shoulder of Jesus, the form of a dove? You remember what was heard from heaven? A voice from the Father, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." When the dove left the ark the first time, listen to me, it's a picture of my prayer and your prayer going to the Father. A dove is always pictured of the highest purity. A dove is always pictured as one of the most beautiful birds. Have you ever heard a dove coo? When Noah sent it out the first time, it came back. What was the answer? Noah wasn't omnipresent. Noah couldn't see everywhere. Noah wasn't all-knowing. And so he didn't know whether the water would begin to dry up or not. And so it came back. He got an answer, didn't he? Listen to me. He sent it out the second time. It came back. It came back with the olive leaf in its mouth. You remember? Which is the answer? The waters are receding. He sent it out the third time, and it came back the third time? No, it didn't come back the third time. It never returned. His prayers were answered all three times. Let me ask you a question this morning. Maybe the reason you think your prayers aren't being answered is because you're looking for the wrong answer. Think about that for a minute. As I close this message this morning, think about that. Prayer is work. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. If you're going to be a prayer warrior, you're going to commit yourself to a disciplined time of prayer every day. Sometime in that day, you're going to take time to spend with God, and nothing else is important. Jesus prayed at 9 o'clock, and he prayed at 3 o'clock, the ninth hour. The ninth hour is significant. It is always the time throughout Scripture, always the time when the evening sacrifice was offered. Let me ask you a question. How is your prayer life this morning? Is it working? Is it bringing you closer to God? Is it bringing you into more fellowship with God? Are you beginning to understand the will and the purpose and the plan of God for your life and for his kingdom? You see, there's a reason we're on this journey, church. I personally don't believe we have very long more. I don't. And I believe God's getting his people ready. Because listen to me, I've been telling you, the only two things you're going to have left when everything else is taken away from you, your liberty and all, the only thing you'll have left is the word of God that you've hidden in your heart. What if every Bible was confiscated this morning? They're talking about confiscating our guns. Listen to me. They're burning Bibles in other countries right now. They're going in homes and arresting other Christians right now in other countries right now and taking the Word of God from them. I can tell you stories about it where one group decided each person was going to memorize a page. They took a Bible, they tore it out, and gave it to this one, and to this one, and to this one, and to this one. You memorize that page. You memorize that one. So that they would have the Word of God. Church, listen to me. The main reason God may not be answering your prayer is because of the things that I've shared with you this morning. When you pray, when you enter God's presence, would you pray with me?